It is Sunday. It's brunch time. It's time to talk Charmed. Brunch with the Hollow Elves. How's everyone doing? This is the last episode before the finale of season 7. While this may end on a to be continued, which is not the first time, these episodes were split up. So we are doing one episode this week and the finale will be next Sunday. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm almost, I think, clear of whatever I have. And Rob, I got to see Brazen with Alyssa.
Tell everyone about Brazen.
First off, one of our fabulous charmies and friends, Chinlin, did see this, and she reached out and asked if I had seen it. And at the time, I didn't, but during my COVID recovery, I've been watching all kinds of things I never got to see. And I gotta say, it wasn't as cringy as I thought it might be. Like, I'm thinking of like a Lifetime movie that's on Netflix, and it kind of is like that, but with a, like a little higher budget looking kind of. But Alyssa looks beautiful. She's got like the Phoebe blonde season 3 look, and she plays a sister of a sister. And let me tell you, this is not a spoiler, it happens early on, but let's just say she cries at one point for her sister, and I wish she uses that, used that emotion in Charmed for Prue, because it was amazing at one point. She is like crying, and I'm like, where was this for Prue, Alyssa? Where was this for Prue?
So is this a drama or a thriller or a comedy?
Thriller mystery. She plays a author, very Phoebe-like writer, and she's a... she's one of these authors that does like true crime. There's a mystery that happens and she's involved.
Okay. Well, while most of it was negative reviews, I mean, you got through it. Are you trying to recommend it to people?
I think you should watch it, Rob, just for the hell of it.
If you want to, I don't have time for Alyssa hell of it.
Looking, I don't want to give it away, but there is, it's fun. It's fun, I'll just say. I think you would guess the eventual killer, but let's just say there's a killer on the loose.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's get to our episode. We're doing episode 21, Death Becomes Them. So last week from the title, I was like, I have no idea what this is. And
with zombies.
It just... It just didn't make sense from what was in my head to the title and then this whole sleeping with zombies thing, and we'll get into that. But the moment that I was setting up all of my notes and stuff to prepare to watch it, I immediately was like, okay, this is the episode I was thinking of. And the big draw was Davidson. I knew that, yes, Davidson was back, but I thought that he sort of haunted them before. After he died. Wasn't there another episode, or is this the only one he came back in?
This is really the only one that I can think of. I know, no, it.
Because remember, Barbas brought him back to fuck with Phoebe. Didn't he come back for that? Or am I just like not? I could have swore there was an episode where the fears came out and she was like, he was like, yeah, you're, I don't know. I just.
Yeah, No, I don't remember that.
This is the only time. I guess I don't remember it being this late. So this was the episode I had in my head, but I just was like, sleep with zombies? Whatever. But anyways, what did you think of the episode?
I'm actually, every time this one comes up, I really like it. And I will say there's a few missed potentials, but all in all, I love it. I love it because I, you know, I'm a zombie man, Rob, so...
Yeah.
This is as close as we got to like a zombie-esque Charmed episode.
Well, apparently, because I didn't remember what this was, it doesn't really leave a mark on me. But I would say watching it this week, I found it entertaining. It was a little creepy, definitely more on the horrific side of things, you know, with, you know, these dead people being risen and just sort of the theme of it all, just dealing with like inner guilt and having to like handle the fact that you can't save everyone. And while this theme has been visited before, I would say that this one was one of the harsher ones, where it was really hitting them very hard on people just dying around them. What was that play of the week?
I actually had a hard time this week, Rob, because my initial thought was to give it to one of the girls. But I have to say, Zanku is really capable. So bringing back the past innocence that were lost is genius. So I think that whole thing is fantastic. So I guess Zanku in, because he orchestrated this plan.
I would say, you know, like just the wave of his hand to be able to just apparate the coffin right in front of them. Just like that. Let's just bring it to them. So yeah, that was pretty like crazy. I didn't know he could do that. But my play actually was the first appearance of Zombie Tim. How he was like laid on the bed. It was very earnest, scared, stupid. And just the way that he was able to put his hands on her, but yet disappear without a trace once the lights went on. I really liked that scene. I thought that was an effective one. And Phoebe looked terrified. So that gets my play. How about the MVP? You're sampling
the best. I almost want to give it double Zanku. Because the only other thing I can think of is I honestly did think Paige was fantastic in this episode. when I don't, but her whole mission with her charge and it just seeing how much it affects her. All right, I'll give it a page.
Mine's going to Zanku. Anytime this man takes a break, he comes back hard, swinging, heavy. Like, he just always has a plan that is just very effective throughout the whole episode. Did you happen to add anyone to your Hot Man meter this week? It's
raining men. Well, Rob, I did. My final man of the season.
All right. I also added someone as well. Hallelujah, it's raining men. But my list, again, is still not, you know, in order.
It's always evolving.
But I have a feeling, though, that somebody who I didn't think would get kicked off, I think is about to get kicked off. So we'll see what my last meter looks like. And I, you know, given that we're like just two episodes away, Charmies, all of you, if you are aware of the men in the last episode, update your list, get them sent to me. This, you know, you guys know the drill. This is the seventh season. I want your list. Send me your top 10 hottest guys of season 7. I also want the hottest female of the season, as well as the most adorable being that appeared in season 7. I'll combine all of your choices into one Hot Man meter list and present it at the end of the season. If you guys know the episodes coming ahead, just get it in. You can send it directly to me via email, bwthpod@gmail.com, or you can also DM on Instagram or Twitter. Twitter is bwthpodcast, and Instagram is Brunch with the Hollowells, all one word. I always look forward to your list. You guys always have a diverse list, and I love seeing who all of you find adorable and cute and hot and sexy.
Is Chris going to be on the top of the list from his one episode, or will Wyatt dethrone him?
Yeah, we'll see. I have a feeling Cole's going to get picked a lot. So we'll see. Death Becomes Them, air date May 15th, 2005, written by Curtis Keel and directed by John T. Kretschmer. I have a feeling they're a dynamic duo. I always see these two names together. Special guests include John Kassir, I'm hoping I spelled or said that right, as the Alchemist, with Sandra Prosper back as Sheila Morris, Keith Diamond back as Reese Davidson, We have Colin Egglesfield as Tim Cross with Laura Regan as Joanna. Co-stars also include Dax Griffin as our evil boyfriend, Carl, and Mercedes Connor as Kim. A menacing confrontation with the undead innocence that the Charmed Ones were unable to save allows Zanku to take control of the Book of Shadows. A classmate of Phoebe's, Tim Cross, is helping her with a flat tire when a demon attacks and kills him with Phoebe fighting him off. Cue the credits. Afterwards, she talks with Piper about the incident, and Piper tells Phoebe to go down to the morgue and see if she can get a premonition off his body to find out why he was killed. Phoebe then leaves, and we see Piper trying to take the Book of Shadows, and it repels her. Piper morphs into Zanku and flames away. Phoebe then blames herself for Tim's death. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. First, I just want to say my hot man meter is Mr. Tim Cross. I have always found this tall, gorgeous-ass, dark-haired man so hot and every project he does. I don't care what he's doing. He always looks good doing it. I did remember that he was in this series. I forgot that he was in this episode, but the moment I saw him, all the memories came back. I definitely remember Colin Egglesfield, and he is definitely on my meter. But what a horrible way to die. I mean, to get the slash on the face, dying instantly, not even knowing why. And then after, you know, just asking, you know, Phoebe out on a date, he was very bold. He was very happy. You know, he's in school. Like, it's just so random and it just sucks. It just sucks. I don't remember him dying like that also. So I got a lot of surprises in this. What's the demon called?
Yes.
The Rapture Demon. Very similar to the Celerity Demon, at least with a similar like weapon that I noticed. So I thought that was pretty cool. What did you think of the Rapture Demon and his power?
I thought the same thing. I thought it was almost, I didn't even know if it was the same weapon that they just reused, but I had that same exact feeling. But yeah, I like that. And to see how brutal it was with an instant Mortal Kombat fatality, holy crap. I didn't remember that he died instantly either. I remember he gets attacked. So yeah, I got to give it to them. Vicious.
The whole scene with Phoebe and Piper, forgot that was Zanku.
Wow.
Wasn't he so convincing?
Finally,
so convincing. There is no way I would have figured this out. Everything was said out of her mouth. The infliction, the tone. The only thing that was like, okay, maybe, was like, go to the morgue, see if you can get a premonition. Usually they go together. And that line was off. But I completely forgot that was Zanku the whole time. She did a wonderful job. And then she was like, okay. And then just slowly creeped to the book. I was like, oh my God, that's Zanku. I love it. But no, good for him. He did his homework. It was believable and I loved it. That was great. I have a feeling there's something about the Phoebe Piper scene that you notice. Maybe I'll leave that to you. But if you don't, then I'll let you know if I caught it or not. Let me see. Nope, you don't have it. Okay, I'll just tell you. So do you remember what Piper said after she was repelled from the book?
Oh, she did say something, she said something, and I was like, oh, yes, it sounded familiar for some reason.
So impressive, most impressive. It's
impressive.
But what did she say? You'll learn to like me yet or something?
Yes.
That was homage to Star Wars. Darth Vader said it. Said something very similar to that, but
yes,
I think the line was
most impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, you'll learn to be a Jedi yet or something like that. So
you'll learn. You know what, when he said it, I don't know why I didn't think of Star Wars, but I said there was something familiar about that. So yeah, I wish I would have wrote that down. Good eye or good ear.
Well, I read about it. Don't take credit. I'm not the Star Wars guy. I was just like, oh, okay.
I was going to say, damn.
We also got to meet the alchemist in this scene before we get to the next one.
Yes.
This is played by John Cassier. Does that name, Ryan, or his voice sound familiar to you?
I feel like it will after you tell me, but no, it doesn't.
So his voice isn't exactly how you are used to hearing it, but he is very known for his voice. This is the voice of the Crypt Keeper.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow, I love that. You
put a face to the voice now. Yes, behind that creepy host with the most is John Cassier. The only other project that I've seen him in is the remake color version of Reefer Madness.
He's in that too.
Yeah, and he has a number and everything, so he sings. But yes, that is the Crypt Keeper.
Very reserved for the Crypt Keeper too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also enjoy the fact that Zanku has friends. Did you see how reminiscing they were? Yeah. Oh, the Renaissance, or what? I can't remember what they said. Where they like?
Oh yeah,
together.
all through the historical times. I love that. Again, yes, it shows history. It shows how long these demons have been around for.
Yeah. So also in this scene, we get Sheila back. And
beautiful.
She is ready for the date. She's trying to like get her man in. Like, we ain't spent time together. I came to your job dressed up. Let's do this.
Ooh.
Right?
Yes, she was.
Trying to keep date night afloat. I love it. Do you guys have date night?
Nope. So Sheila's got one on me with her beautiful blue dress.
You got to keep that marriage alive. Come on now. So Sheridan also is known of the Hollowells, right? In other murder cases. And also that she still has lost some of her memory because she didn't remember who Phoebe was. Or no, I'm sorry, not Phoebe, but Sheila they had met. And Chris, apparently, it's his 1 year birthday. It's been a year. So born, on last year's finale or last season's finale.
I like that they did that.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Did you, at the beginning of this episode, seeing that it was a mechanic, one part of me almost wished it was Paige's charge from a few episodes ago, just to remind you that she has other charges, she's had them. And then it could have been that storyline that Paige lost that charge. We would have seen him already. So it was more of an impact, let's just say. I mean, from one episode. But yeah, still. But I get why this had to be Phoebe's, man.
Yeah.
But I feel like wasted opportunity. So Tim is definitely going on the hot man meter. Rob, do you remember?
Oh, I thought you were going to put the other guy.
I was tempted. But did you watch the CW's Melrose Place short-lived Ashley Simpson?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I loved that. I loved that series. So I'm so sad that it was off. And that's the first time I remember seeing him after this episode of Charmed. And I loved him in that. So, and then when Phoebe is attacked by that demon, is she not right on it?
Yeah, she is. I mean, they gave her some great choreography to dance around with this demon before he, and got impaled.
I mean, she blocked that. I was like, okay, Phoebe, great work. And then the last thing that really tickled me is the alchemist's dust on his jacket. And Zanku's look of, oh my God, that just flew off of you. Okay. I thought that was hysterical. So
I
nice
did
touch.
That.
So Phoebe and Daryl inspects Tim's body with Phoebe attempting to get a premonition off of it with no luck. They end up leaving. Zanku and the alchemist appear at the door and flame away with Tim's body. Ooh, do you, as an actor, what do you think about these people that have to be in body bags and be zipped up into these things and lay in coffins? I don't know. It's too close to home.
I mean, a job's a job. You take what you can get, really.
That's true. That's true. Paige has a new charge, a future white lighter named Joanna. Joanna has a boyfriend named Carl, and Paige gets a bad vibe from him. Joanna stays with him regardless. Whilst at P3, talking to Joanna, Rob.
Oh, hello. Welcome.
Witch Watcher ain't waiting the end of this episode today. She's getting her ass out of here after this.
All right, Witch Watcher, tell us what cartoon witch we saw today.
No. Ah! You might be surprised, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
She says, this witch, love me, oh man. Give me your blood to perpetuate my youth. And I will make you too immortal, for I weary of priests and magicians and captive screaming virgins. I desire a man. Love me, barbarian. Love me.
Okay, now I'm assuming this is Conan the Barbarian, but it's not?
Close.
Is it Beastmaster? Can you think of another...
Close. There's another barbarian from the 90s that's probably forgotten.
Was it Young Hercules?
Same actor.
What do you mean, same actor?
As Hercules. Do you remember this movie? Do you remember this movie that was, I guess, a Conan ripoff?
But you said it was the same actor?
As Hercules.
No. I mean, whatever it is, I haven't seen it, so there's no way I'm going to guess who the witch is.
Well, the witch is in Hercules, but Hercules is in it. So this is Kull the Conqueror, 1997.
Oh, okay.
And this is Tia Carrera.
Tia Carrera! Oh, yes! Okay.
And she plays, oh, please forgive me, everybody, Sana. Not even close, but she's this witch.
Very cool. I don't think I've seen Cole the Conqueror. Tell us about our Tia Carrera witch.
She is the villain of this movie. She was raised from the dead, and she resides in a temple. And then she lived off priests, magicians, and virgins captured to her, so she would remain, I guess, alive as long as she had these magicians, virgins, and these people brought to her. So anyway, she's after the lead character of Cole the Conqueror, who, Rob, I found out this was supposed to be Conan 3, and Arnold Schwarzenegger did not want to do it, and Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules at the time, took over, and they changed it to Cole the Conqueror, which is evidently a Marvel comic character.
Interesting. Yes, I did not see this one. And my history with Conan is really, like, I haven't seen any of them. So,
Grace Jones is in one of them. So, yeah. Of course, I had to.
Well, awesome, Witch Watcher. She's still spotting new ones. I can't believe it.
Neither can I. I can't believe I came up with this. Oh, so where were we? So while at P3 talking to Joanna, her boyfriend comes and demands her to leave, telling her that he didn't want her to see or talk to Paige anymore. So we do get to see P3 one more time far this season, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see the girls together, so that might have been still the last time we saw all three of our lovely ladies together. I mentioned her earlier, but Sheila looked beautiful in her going out date night dress. I mean, she's still bringing it for Daryl, so I love it. And baby Chris is always smiling, the little baby who plays baby Chris. So I think that's adorable.
Phoebe, after she tries to, you know, get a premonition from the body, it doesn't work. She's in the hallway of the morgue talking to Paige over the phone, and Daryl is desperately trying to get her to leave. Like, we cannot be caught here. Why are we having conversations in the hallway of the morgue? Why can't you leave and go outside and have this conversation? I love how they're just in there. He's stressing out. Why do you need to talk right there? I was just like, just leave. Stop trying to get him in trouble.
I know. I was going to say, this is, you could have been in and out. Let's do this in the car, Phoebe.
But here's the thing. At this point of the episode, we are given tons of example of Phoebe just really down on herself, blaming herself for the death, and just some of the things that she was saying. You know, like, this man died because he knew me. And, like, that's a very heavy thing to carry with you, regardless if you have the coping mechanism to kind of move on from it. He died by association. You know, like, he had nothing to do with the war between good and evil. And
no.
I completely understand Phoebe's feelings about this. And I think they are 100% valid for her to be deep into her own head about this. I do not fault her one bit. And Phoebe, feel your feelings. Do what you have to do. I feel, you know, 100% on your side on this. I see you, Joanna. I'm going to be singing that the whole time. Joanna. So do you recognize this actress?
She looked like generic 90s, 2000 white lady.
Definitely 2000. So she can be seen on a couple of horror films. They is one of them. And she also was in Dead Silence.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Joanna.
Yeah. So I want to get a little bit real with this particular storyline. We're dealing with a very abusive relationship and also just sort of the low self-esteem or lack of self-confidence to feel that you deserve better than what you have in your life. And I will say that it's very hard to break ties with things that you are used to. I mean, we don't know her backstory or why she feels or this way or is kind of feeling like she can't be by herself, you know, making excuses for him and stuff like that. Some people just don't like being alone at all. I mean, that's just the simple of it,
right?
You know,
that's true.
And they're not given much examples of things showing that it will get better or that they have. Right. So like, you're dating this guy, you probably never had much luck, you know, dating people in the past. And this is basically all that you have to stand for a somewhat successful relationship. So it's like, if you haven't really been given examples that you can succeed in dating life or that a better or different prospect is out there for you, you are just used to what you have and you make the best of it. And I have a feeling that's what was happening here.
That's so, yeah, it's so sad. I mean, that happens to a lot of people, Rob, too, when they first date and they don't know that there's better people out there. You don't have to be abused or controlled.
Yeah. Well, we got a clear example here about sort of the dynamic of Carl and Joanna's relationship, but also how honest him and Paige are to each other. In the middle, you got Joanna listening to Paige and Carl constantly bicker at each other, showing complete distaste for the other. How would you handle a situation like that? Would you be forced to pick sides? Would you even feel comfortable of them being so blunt and honest about their hatred for each other in front of you?
How long did we think that Joanna was with Paige at this point, that they were like, you know, this close and she got this idea? I mean, I guess it's probably really noticeable if the boyfriend was this.
Yeah, she doesn't necessarily have any friends. I mean, she honestly was just like, you are the only like light in my life besides Carl. And so it's like, if she's only been with her for a couple of months, like, that just shows the lack of like people that's on, you know, that's on her side. But like, how do you handle this? Like, do you feel comfortable with them being honest? Like, if guy just continuously was just like, I don't like your friend Rob.
Oh,
like, are you okay to just hear that type of language? Me back at you,
no.
Like, I can't stand. But would you put a stop to it? Or would you like, I don't want to be involved? Or would you be forced to choose?
I would say, well, first of what? How dare you? And then what do you have against this beautiful man? No, I wouldn't. Especially if it was a friend, I wouldn't let someone be rude to my friend like that. I don't care who it is, with, you know.
And how do you feel the other way? Like, if a friend was, like, honest with you and just being like, dude's a whatever, like...
I wouldn't mind the friends. No one wants to hear that crap, of course, when you're in a relationship, but that's what friends are for. You can't fault them. You can't fault them. I mean...
Well, okay. If I was aware of my friends' sort of opinion about the guy that I'm dating, you know, I would hear them out. They said their piece. There you have it. I would find ways not to really have them in the same room or event or whatever the case. It would also depend on the level of friendship and the level of, you know, who I'm dating. I don't think that I would ever choose. And God forbid, am I ever friends with anybody who would make me choose. But, you know, there are some people who really don't get along with each other. But I know that we are, you know, in our 40s now, that I should not have to figure out, like, oh, I want to do this thing and I want them both here. What do I do? It's like, no, you guys have chosen not to get along. Some of you will not be able to do certain things with me because I want the other there, and deal with it, or, you know, make up. But do I want to constantly hear it and no, you know, have that in front of me? Like, that's drama that I'm not really in favor to. Like, yeah, you guys would have to shut up about it, deal with it, fight, duke it out, whatever, or shut up. Like, I don't want to hear it. Like, I understand the two of you don't like each other. I don't need to be reminded of that every time we're all in the same room. So that's just kind of how I feel.
But I can't see you in that position, Rob. I don't see you being with some jerk that's going to be, like, bossing you around. So I don't think you have to worry about that.
Well, I mean, I will say that there have been times where it's kind of like a little bit of the opposite. So they don't necessarily hate them, but they sort of dislike hanging out with them because they're not into the same thing.
Different
common things. So it's just like, oh, I'm going to hang out with my friend and we're going to do this. I don't really like doing that. So I don't want to hang out with the two of you. Do your thing. Like, it's kind of hard to get them in the same room, right? So it's like stuff like that. I've experienced that before and I just dealt with it. Shortly, Phoebe sees Tim in her bed and he blames her for his death. Scared, she runs out of her room, of her bedroom, meeting Piper and Leo at the door. But when they enter, he's nowhere to be found. After consulting the Book of Shadows, they suspect an alchemist. Phoebe calls Daryl and asks him to see if Tim's body is still in the morgue. Inspector Sheridan is all the more suspicious of Daryl. She tries to get him to talk to her about the Hollowell sisters, implying that they are evil. She mentions the death at their house of Inspector Trudeau and Rodriguez. Obviously, she is trying to make him feel guilty and fess up, but it doesn't work. And she mentions that Phoebe was the last one to see Tim before his body disappeared. So, again, that's play of the week for me, that scene where we see Tim. First of all, why are you calling it sleeping with the zombie? Like, first of all, they didn't sleep together when they were alive. And no. Yeah, he was next to her in bed. She immediately got up. I feel that this is a heavy dismiss ploy of, like, nothing that occurred. This is not even, like, why would you even promote a sexy vibe of her sleeping with a zombie? That's not even cute.
It was not at all. Not at all.
Title. It's a weird title. And that's what confused me about what this episode was about. Because I'm like, oh, did Phoebe have, like, a tryst and you found out that he was dead all of a sudden afterwards? Like, I was like, what episode is this? This is weird. But I didn't like that. I just thought that was dumb.
Now, there's the WB for you.
So Zanku brings a blast from the past with a wave of his hand. I love this. Can you imagine just having that type of power? Like, oh, okay, here it is. Ooh. He even cleaned it off for you, too. Like, it barely had any dirt from the ground on the coffin. But Zanku definitely can play the long game really well, right? He's so really patient, does. And he knows exactly what he wants to do in the time that he wants to do it. And I honestly do not blame Sheridan for being suspicious this time. Like, I get it. Tim died. You report the murder. You get him help, if it's possible to help him. But here you are again involved in another murder, right? Then, you show up at the morgue and you want to do the body. Here's the thing. I would have had Paige or Phoebe into the morgue and not even involved Daryl.
Oh, smart.
Like, she's got to sign in on the sheet. It's just weird. I just, like, do.
Yeah, because that, exactly. How obvious is that when you sign in as well?
Yeah. So look, Sheridan, investigate all you want. They brought it on themselves. They want to be in the front and center of it all. Go ahead and do it. Cause yeah, they're just being a little extra right now.
So Phoebe didn't want to go to work at this today. So, you know, it's bad when this woman refuses to go to her job. I do love the old coffin, Rob. I think that's such a classic horror staple, but show me an old coffin, I get the ambiance that I need.
Yeah, they're usually like gray too, right?
Yeah. I remember Prue had a beautiful white one. So, okay. Now this is a stretch, Rob, but what do you think about this? I could be completely off. People might hate this, but what if the actual plot would have been bringing zombie Prue back from the dead? Now, listen, you don't have to show Shannon at all. I'm thinking of, do you remember there's an episode of, as I'm writing this, I remember there's an episode of Buffy where Joyce, her mother is coming back. Oh, God, spoiler. Hopefully no one's heard, but, and do you remember that it's like you don't see Joyce? Like, you never actually get to see the zombie, but you know that she's coming and everything. Like, what if they had to deal? To me, if Zanku would have brought Prue's body out, I mean, I know why they couldn't have, but that would have killed them. That would have killed them.
It would have. If it was definitely that kind of show. Now, if it was Supernatural, yes, they definitely would have done that. I don't know how they would resolve it, though.
That's the only thing, because Buffy doesn't actually see, like, she gets to the door, I remember, her mother or something like that, which Rob will probably know sooner or later. He'll be seeing something soon, possibly. But something with that, or somebody, I don't know, this whole thought of, like, this zombie or someone, like, from behind, just the thought of her coming, and they never, maybe it never actually happens, but to me, oh damn, when they said originally, I mean, this is, I don't know why I thought this as a kid, but when they said, we're bringing back someone who died 4 years ago, I'm like, oh, Prue died four, I mean, I don't know. But still, that's my thought. Something wicked like that. Because, okay, I get it. This is an innocence, but if you really want to get him, Zanku, get him where it hurts.
Something they could have done in the previous seasons, for sure. I think we've reached a little bit of this lightheartedness where something like that could be very dark and a little diminishing of her character, I guess. Like, the one time you bring her back, she's an unseen zombie. But, I mean, I get it. It's an excuse to bring her back. This was definitely the perfect time to do it. I just wonder who is blaming themselves for Prue's death, though.
Phoebe should.
You should.
You know, there's a Patreon bonus episode we just did for a tier, and we go into that again.
Yeah.
Joanna calls Paige.
I see you, Joanna. Okay, sorry, go.
She's upset about the fight with Carl. Paige goes to her and tries to console her. She suddenly gets a call from Piper telling her that Tim's body has gone missing. Paige leaves and advises Joanna to lock the door and not let Carl in. However, he is already in Joanna's apartment. Worse, he's really Zanku. And he kills Joanna, and Paige is rattled on finding her body. Zanku provides the alchemist with the body of Inspector Rhys Davison, killed in Death Takes a Hollowell, season 3. The two revive him and send him after Phoebe. Zanku tries again to steal the Book of Shadows, but fails. Rob, was he always Carl Zanku?
Okay, so like I said, he is really good at the long game. But I mean, was it just like a non-intimate relationship that they were in?
I hope to God.
did he kill him halfway? But I mean, they had to have gone on dates, slept in the same bed. Like, I think that's a little too much. For me, I think it was just him in that one scene. Is the real Carl dead? I don't know. But what kind of relationship did they actually have to last this long? But, you know, Paige is like, oh, I got a bad vibe about him, yada, yada. Is that an indication that it was Zanku the whole time? I just don't know what he was doing. I mean, is that why he was gone for 4 episodes? Is he was dating Joanna this whole time?
I honestly thought that. I'm like, okay, well, there's men that have a whole other wives and children in other states. So Zanku could be getting his groove on. But giving Joanna something.
I don't know. It's a little bit too much. He has a lot of information to be like, oh yeah, I know that Paige has a charge. Let me date her man. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm sticking with, it was just that scene. But what do you think?
I almost thought you're right. What if she killed him? What if Zanku killed him off maybe a week or two earlier? And he played up this abusive angle to get under Paige's skin.
And this is when the bad vibes came. Maybe it wasn't there the whole time, I guess. I don't know.
That would give an excuse of why she was just like, well, he's not like this normally or whatever. I mean, it sounds like an abusive relationship, but maybe that's what happened.
Paige telling Joanna, just scream my name loudly and I'll be here in a second. Now, would you actually, I mean, she tried to do it, but would you actually believe her and be like, okay, I'm just gonna call your name and you're gonna be here? Would you actually try it?
I think I would just hope in that moment that she was still in the hallway, because it seemed like it was instantaneously. I don't think I would have called her name out loud. No, I would have thought I was a crazy person at that point. Though, if I'm being attacked, I might have screamed anything.
Yeah.
I cannot get over that Sheridan called Sheila up and had the nerve to bring her to the station.
That is a bitch-ass move. Oh my God. And she was so proud of it, too.
I couldn't. I just hate Sheridan even more. I was like, yes, please. I can't wait for you to leave. I think it was terrible.
But here's the thing, though. Now you are at a point where Sheila has changed and she's not all about the magical mission anymore. It's like, nope, you're done with them. That is their fight. Do you see how she was doing? I was like, woman, I was trying to tell you this last year. And you were all like, you need to help the sisters. Gonna put me on the couch because I didn't want to help them. Now all of a sudden I gotta quit. And Daryl was all about the mission now. He was like, I can't just leave him hanging. He was like, well, look, you fucking with my marriage, you fucking with my date night, and you could, like, die at any point. Yeah. And I'm like, this sort of situation has been sort of the truth about Daryl this whole time, but it's hitting a lot harder for Sheila right now, and I get why they're doing it. Do you feel shenanigans of her change of heart, or does it make sense that at this point in their relationship with the Charm Ones, that she would finally put her foot down and be like, you know what? I think you need to separate yourself. I mean, Sheridan could have told her anything, but is this out of character, or are they just rushing Daryl out?
It was like a turn really quickly. Like, I think they realized if it was the last season that they needed to get Daryl back with them before the end of the series, or I wouldn't have enjoyed that. I think it's whole Sheridan maybe telling him that he's going to lose his job or something like that, too. Like, it's really affecting their lives. I mean, I'm glad that she said she wouldn't ever tell their secret. So she still respects them in that sense, but it is a change. I kind of liked that Sheila was, like, gung-ho with magic. But I understand there comes a point that they need to have a lot. She needs Daryl. This isn't Daryl's destiny. So I don't blame her for wanting her husband to be alive. And wanting to get that dress out and about after getting all ready to go out. Getting called to police stations. And my last thing is, Paige says this line. They said, where did Phoebe go? Probably to a mental institution. Great delivery. Great line.
Well, we're seeing a bit of a divide with the sisters. It's starting to brew up, right? Like, Phoebe is really irritated over Paige just being like, move on or whatever. Like, it's not that easy to just, like, not take blame over this. So she's feeling it, right? in between all of this, you know, Zanku is still trying to break them apart to get that book. What I loved, the line was like, you know, we're aware of Zanku shapeshifting. And while they're in the kitchen talking, they figure out that in the beginning, when Phoebe was talking to Piper and suggesting to go to the morgue, that was Zanku the whole time. So she hops off the sink and she's like, how do I know you're Zanku right now or you're Piper? She goes, well, I'm not. He's like, well, how do I know? Prove it. Jake Singer, backseat, 10th grade. Can Zanku tell you all about that? I love that line. That was good. You wonder who Jake Singer is.
Just another one of broken hearts from Phoebe Hollowell.
But I thought that was a funny line. But good for them to test, right?
Finally, I would tell you, I swear to God, Rob, you would come home and I'd be like, Rob, tell me something I wouldn't know every night. I would never know if it's my sister or not.
So Paige discovering Joanna in the apartment, that was very sad. And God, Paige is just so good at it. She's just good at it.
She's like a prude. They love to cry.
Well, you're on the job for 5 minutes and you already lost a charge. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would feel devastated as well.
And she was friendly with her, and I think she liked her. So
Yeah, no, I get it. When they woke up Davidson, and the shadow that was over his eyes was a really nice touch. They didn't want to exactly reveal who it was in the coffin that was from their past, but you can tell in the voice, and I'm sure a lot of people got the hint of who it was. And so I really liked that. It did make it more mysterious and spooky. And the slow reveal, you know, letting us know who it is and then bam, revealing him in the flashback. I thought that was pretty cool. So Paige, going after the alchemist, scries for Joanna. The three sisters orb to the cemetery and find Joanna revived as a zombie. They meet the alchemist and a number of zombies, all innocents, that the sisters have lost. The zombies attack, and finally Piper blasts them. God forgive us, or forgive me, or God help us.
That was a great line, honestly.
Well, apparently she said the exact same thing in Pardon My Past.
Yes, when they're putting that neck, right, to kill her.
Yeah. With the last zombie blasted, which is a little devastating, that kind of sucks because... Yeah, you can't bring them to life, but it's the fact like they'll never be buried and their bodies will go missing and it's this whole thing. So yeah, you're getting rid of all of these like bodies, right? But Zanku vanquishes the alchemist. This makes for another minion that he destroys.
And friend.
To the sister's surprise, I believe this is the 7th one. But he served his purpose, apparently. The sisters return to the manor to find the Book of Shadows missing. Zanku has stolen it. So the last scene that we get is him just sitting on his, you know, stool, just reminiscing and overjoyed that he has the book, flipping through it. This was very Thanos at the end of Infinity War when he's just basking in his victory. With a pseudo to be continued at the end. One thing that I wanted to bring up with this particular scene, the big showdown is when all of these zombies are appearing. And even though we couldn't identify most of them, they were Piper's lost innocence. I don't know how many times she lost a person.
Three of them, evidently, right in a row.
But you know what would have been amazing if it was Dr. Williamson.
Hey, oh my God, that would have been amazing.
Epic. Can you imagine if he had made, because she was so distraught over that death.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, Rob, that's perfect. That is perfect.
But, you know, Phoebe got Reese, even though it was technically Prue's, but Phoebe got Reese, Paige got Joanna. This brings us to WWPD, What Would Prue Do? Now, if she was alive in that cave, who do you think would be brought back to fuck with her?
You know, I honestly think it would be Rhys Davis because they managed to cut around it in this episode, but Prue, she was determined to stop Death from taking him. Yes, he was after Phoebe. It was a Phoebe plot line, but then it became that Prue moment. So honestly, I think this is a Prue innocent.
So I have two, right? If Reese needed to go to Phoebe, I would have given Prue Andy, but obviously we couldn't have him come back. But you know what would have really been fucked up is to circle back all the way to the first season and have the dream demon come back.
The dude in the wheelchair. Yes.
Yes, and have him come back and be like, you killed me and I wasn't a demon. I was a human being. And then really mess her up.
Oh, my God, I wish wasted opportunities.
They still don't know to this day that they killed a human that day.
Oh, yeah, true. That whole episode.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So I would have had him come back and be like, I was human whole time.
The doctor, if they could have gotten all those people back, especially if it was the last season, oh my God, this would have been one of the top episodes.
Well, Andy was mentioned earlier in the episode, yeah. So it would definitely make sense for Andy to come back as well.
And they always love to bring up, and one of their sisters died, like these girls are murdering their sister.
Yeah.
Continues, they killed their sister. I hate Sheridan. That was one of my notes. I'm like, God, let this woman go.
No, Sheridan is horrible, but she is desperate and she is on the ball. This is what her job entails. Like, get the job done, right?
You know, I get it. She's doing it for a noble cause, let's just say. But she's just so unlikable. She's so unlikable. And she called Sheila behind Daryl's back. I think that was so dirty. So,
well, they've definitely set up this episode for to be continued. We've got distraught sisters who literally are finding out that the book has been removed from the house, let alone Zanku having it. Daryl's on his last, lifeline, possible divorce. Just threatened, like he has to choose between him or the family or them. And Sheridan's just right on the tail. And yeah, it's getting heavy. So this was a definitely high stakes sort of episode. But yeah, that wraps up Death Becomes Them. And next week on Charmed, Something Wicca This Way Goes, which comes full circle of the first episode of the series, Something Wicca This Way Comes. I definitely remember this episode.
Yes.
And I look forward to reviewing it. This will be a very interesting conversation to have as we lead into the last and final season. Remember that next week will be the finale. I am going to do my very, very best to get the quiz out in the same week. And then we are going to take a small break. I will announce that next week. But thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed season 7. And if you liked it better or worse than your previous rewatch or from listening to this podcast, love to hear your opinions. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye, Charmies.
Kept their identities a secret. Now, the truth is out.
We're not getting out of this one.
They can give up their powers.
Wow.
Or their lives.
What is he really after? Our heads on a platter?
The season finale of Charmed, Sunday on the WB.
Charmy Confessions. So, Rob, we got a comment on Twitter after last week's episode when I mentioned that I saw a parallel between Wyatt and Sailor Moon's daughter from the future. And on Twitter, Ninin says, listening to your latest episode whilst coloring in, I can't believe I've never linked Sailor Moon and Charmed before you mentioned it. And she posted pictures of a Sailor Moon coloring book, which I absolutely love. So first off, I love that you were listening to us and coloring, and it was a Sailor Moon coloring book. So thank you so much for that.
That is very cool.
It made my day that you also saw that connection.
So there are a couple of confessions that I got on Instagram. A lot of them came from a new Charmy who just discovered our show. Her page is The Charmed Yogi.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's all one word, Charmed Yogi, Y-O-G-I. So she says, I'm sad I found this pod when it's so close to the end. I started a new job with a sizable commute, and this pod makes me smile in traffic. And she looks forward to today's episode. So, yeah.
Wow, she caught up that quickly.
Well, I don't know if she caught up. I think she might be jumping and maybe starting from the beginning, but just kind of currently just listening to, you know, our latest episodes. But she did comment on a couple of things from the past. One being, and I think this is the scene you were talking about. So she commented on Brazen. She said, she had a dominatrix scene or moment.
Oh, I didn't want to say it, but yes. Yep.
At the end of this movie, and it cracked me up. This movie was so bizarre, and I won't spoil it, but the killer was such a random conclusion. Do you agree with that?
Yes, and yeah, I mean, yes, but I thought the person who it was creepy. So I don't know if that helps, but yeah, it was all over the place. It went back and forth with like a million suspects.
Yeah. Also, she commented on, I believe the episode before that, the one with the mechanic. I forget his name at the moment. Why am I spacing
Mitch?
On him?
Mitch, was it
Mitch? Mitch, you're right. You're Mitch. So I rewatched this episode before I listened to the second half of this pod episode, and I totally agree on those weird mechanic moves that he was doing. Remember when he was like pretending to fix something? And he says, I actually noticed it the first time on that rewatch, and I was so excited when I saw that you had mentioned it. So I'm glad I'm not the only one who noticed it.
He's like, I don't know how to act like a mechanic.
Right. The last one that I'll read from her, she says, I'm midway through this episode, the one with Katya, the little box of horrors, at the moment, and I gotta say, y'all have me really reconsidering Katya. She was pretty epic. The best female baddie for me, though, is the Seer. She was all about that money moves. There was a couple exchanges between them, but we also got somebody from Instagram, m_the_name, and she actually proposed a question and said, can regular people get into magic school? And she doesn't remember, and she brings up an example, which is a spoiler for the end, so I won't say that, but it made me, you know, think like, you know, can regular people go to magic school? And the answer is yes. You know, regular people have gone into magic school, mostly with escorted help. Like Paige will bring them in. Leo will bring them in. I referenced
like mothers. It wasn't like the Mullen boys, like her, the mother. She was immortal, I think.
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
You mean mortal.
Mortal, yeah. Mortal.
Yeah, she was mortal. Yeah, I Brody was brought in by Paige. They also kept an innocent unconscious at magic school for the whole episode. So it's definitely possible. And Leo being human now, he is in magic school as well. So, but thank you for, you know, presenting that question. You know, definitely hit us up. I love all
your
messages.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, of course. Oh, and one other thing. There was a comment on our game. Somebody came up with another C name, Chupacabra.
Oh, love it. Love yeah. it because it is there.
It's totally just... forgot about that too. So we also have another message from Melanie. One of the biggest qualms about the show is that they never really went deeper into the sisters' constant desire for a normal life. So while they mentioned it a lot, they never dove in deep about it. They never addressed the self-hatred and the source of it, nor did they do much to show the beauty and wonder of magic. They focused constantly on the losses, which made them bitter and selfish at times, rather than the amazing good things that they have accomplished. So they stopped enjoying magic and were constantly bored or annoyed by it. I would have loved to see Paige help her sisters rediscover a love and appreciation for magic. She writes more, but this stemmed off the poll that I put up, which is basically asking from last week's episode, should Wyatt go to magic school or muggle school? And 94% said magic school, while 6% said muggle school, which I think was the equivalent of two people. So two people actually chose public school. I didn't get an explanation. Nobody came forward as to why they chose, but it would have been really interesting to hear why they believe public school was the right way to go.
And I always love to hear from Melanie. She always has great comments.
Yes, definitely. So thank you all for your confessions this week. I'm sorry if I didn't get to yours, but I'll try and read anything that I didn't read on the finale episode. And just remember, even though we are going into a different season, Patreon is still up and going well. We're still putting bonus episodes up. We have some wonderful ideas for February. We also have two bonus episodes coming up for that month. And Ryan and I just did a bonus episode for January that talked about random charm-related articles that we saw online and just giving our two cents. I thought that was a really fun conversation.
One of my favorite conversations.
So any interest in listening to any of those extra episodes, definitely join at least as a witch practitioner or higher, and you'll be able to listen to some bonus episodes. That's patreon.com/BWTH podcast.